Okay, over the summer, we visited Durdle Door. Has anyone seen Durdle Door in Dorset? It is well worth visiting. It is quite an incredible sight. And we went there, and as soon as I saw it, I have to confess that I thought, I want to swim through that. Anyone swam through the Durdle Door? Anyone done that yet? Okay, I decided I've got to swim through that. But the waves coming into the shore were pretty strong. And they broke right on the beach, so you'd be sort of ankle deep, and then you'd be like up there. They're just... So there's no lifeguards. So I thought, is this a good idea? But I love the sea, so I went out into the sea, a little swim. I have to confess, I don't know whether anyone else has this, but you know, you have those thoughts, what's underneath me? And you start to freak out. You're in the sea, and you think, I don't know what's underneath me, and you start to freak out. You know, it happens sometimes. So I was out there, relaxed, enjoying it. And I thought, you know what? I might go have a little closer look. So I sort of swam a little bit closer. And out of the corner of my eye were two women. And they were very clearly on a mission. They were going to go through. And I hadn't seen anyone else go through. And that was all I needed. I was like, right, I'm in. So trying to keep up with these two ladies. And swam through. And they were going right round to come out. And I was like, I'm not having any of that. Swim back through. I swam through twice and started to freak out and then got back into the shore. Why am I telling you that? Because it's amazing how other people can help us get out of our comfort zone and overcome fear. Isn't it? You can think about people in your life who have helped you overcome a fear because you've just watched them do it and you thought, I'll have a go at that. And when Jesus invited people to follow him, he knew exactly how we operate. And he always showed his disciples how to do things. He demonstrated it to them to encourage them to overcome their fears, particularly in the area of mission and standing out from the crowd. And this morning, we're going to continue our Follow Me series, looking at how following Jesus means joining his mission. That's what it means. To follow Jesus means we join his mission and his cause. And we're going to read from Luke 10 this morning. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to go to Luke 10. But Jesus' disciples, when Jesus said to them, follow me, they joined a training track like no other. 365 days a year, 24/7, they were on a training track with Jesus. And it was exciting. They never knew what would happen next. Jesus would upset the religious authorities because he healed people on the Sabbath. He cast out demons and healed many, many sick people along the way. He stopped a storm with a word. And they said, what kind of man is this? And he even raised the dead. Being with Jesus, sometimes you see people in church and you think, they don't look that interesting. Ever felt that? Or on the media, you see some people and you think, being with Jesus was never boring. It was exciting. It was. It was exciting being with Jesus. And he was training them for action. He wasn't like, just come and watch and take notes and this is really interesting. You can tell people about what I did. He was training them for action once he died and once he rose from the dead. And ascended. And in Luke 9:51, we're told that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He told them he would go to Jerusalem to suffer and die, and on the third day rise. And it says in Luke 9:51, he set his face to go towards Jerusalem. He knew where he was going, and he was focused on that, and the disciples were coming with him. So let's read from Luke 10. I'm going to read verse 1 to 20. It says this, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town, they will receive you. Eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Sometime later, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the way that this is relevant to us today. Lord, wrote 2,000 years ago or so. And this is so relevant to us today. And we want to pray, Lord, would you give us hearts and eyes and ears to hear and to see what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, would you make us more like you? Challenge us to live the life that you've called us to live, to be on mission with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I've got 4 points I want to draw out from this morning. And the first is that we are part of God's mission to the world. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of his mission. It's his mission. It's always been his mission. Even when we start the Bible at the beginning, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, God was already had a plan to rescue and redeem the world. And it says that we were chosen even before the foundation of the world. He had a plan to rescue and to bring in the nations of the world to worship him. Now, depending on your translation of the Bible that you have, it will either say 70 or 72. And yours, if it says 70 or 72, probably in the bottom, there'll be a little footnote and it will say, or 70 or 72. And that's because these numbers are interchangeable in Jewish traditions. In Genesis 10, there are the nations of the world, the then known nations of the world that interact with Israel. And they are named one after another. And in some texts it says 70 and in some it says 72. So the numbers are interchangeable. But what's symbolic about this number is that this is the mission of the 72 to the Jewish towns is just a foreshadowing of Jesus' mission worldwide that will happen once he has died and rose from the dead and given his disciples the Spirit. This is a foreshadowing of what Jesus will do in his mission to the nations that will be done through his disciples. It's God's mission. And because it's God's mission, he provides the workers. Verse 3, he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send out labourers into his harvest. In the ancient Middle East, there wasn't a shortage of workers in the harvest season. Jesus tells a parable about the workers waiting into the all day to work in the harvest fields. There wasn't a shortage, but God's mission to the world, the great harvest, the greatest harvest the world has ever seen, we're told that the workers are few. But rather than trying to twist people's arm when they come on Sunday, convince them that they need to go and tell their friends, we're told to go straight to the source and ask Jesus for workers. Hudson Taylor, who was the missionary to China, he desperately needed more workers and more finances. And he said this. He said that he needed to learn to move men through God by prayer alone. He knew his job was not to try and coerce and convince and push people. He knew that he needed to pray to God and God would move people's hearts. That was what they needed. Because actually, if you're coerced by someone else, it's very easy to turn back. But if you're convinced by God, that's a whole different story, isn't it? God is the one who provides. It's God's mission, so he will provide the workers. And we could go further to say that he will also provide the finances and the resources. And that's something we've experienced in this community over the last 11 years, that God has provided for all the work that we've had to do. And for all the work that we continue to do, God provides. And because God provides and because we need to earnestly seek him, that's why we pray. That's why this Wednesday we are going to pray together, because we need to seek him for his resources and for labourers into the vineyards, into the harvest fields, the Ramsden estate. We need more workers to sit down with people at our cafes on a Wednesday or Saturday morning. We need more people to come and do that. Okay, we don't have to go out and wander around the estate. The people are here on a Saturday morning, and we need to meet Christians who are here from the church to say, actually, I'm going to give an hour of my time on a Saturday morning to meet some people who don't know Jesus yet. We need workers to help with our Pulse youth group on Thursday nights. We need workers to help with our children's ministry. And probably many other areas. They're just three I picked. But it's God's mission to the world, and we need to believe him when he says it's plentiful. See how easy it is to just think, oh, that person wouldn't be interested. Oh, they wouldn't really be interested. Oh, they wouldn't. To discount this word where Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. If we believe that, that means we're willing to scatter lots of seed because we believe that the harvest is there. And the enemy wants us to believe there's no harvest. None of your friends would be interested in Jesus. And we need to seek him for his resources. The second thing is that we need to trust him. Can you imagine Jesus gathers around these 72 and it's about team talk time. You know, let's get them ready to go out. And you could kind of imagine this is the moment to kind of give it some William Wallace from Braveheart kind of speech. Let's get out there. Or Churchill, let's give a kind of speech to get them going and ready to go. Hype them all up. And Jesus says to them, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. That's what he says to them. And in addition to this, and you can miss it when you read the text, is actually Jesus is sending them out ahead of him. He's not been to these towns yet. They're going to break the ice. Jesus doesn't do hype. We quite like hype, don't we, sometimes? Quite good to get going. There's an advert out. It's on the TV I saw a couple of times yesterday when watching the rugby for, you know, protect this house. And they kind of go, if you're not seeing it, you'll see it at some stage. But we love hype. But Jesus doesn't do hype. He wanted them to understand the seriousness and the cost of the mission. He wanted them to have eyes open to what it would be like to be on mission with him. Now, lambs and wolves don't work well together. Lambs are easy pickings for a pack of wolves. And Jesus warns, this isn't a walk in the park. I wonder if you felt this at times. Felt the fear of telling others. Felt the sweaty hands. I wonder if you've been ridiculed. If you felt that, oh, I wish the ground would swallow me up because I feel really uncomfortable in this situation because it feels like my friends are attacking me. I wonder if you felt like that. I tell you what, that's not nice, but it's just a small fraction of what other believers around the world are facing for their faith in Jesus. Over the past 2 weeks, I've had two different messages from churches in northern India who are facing great persecution. And we have some churches in Pakistan who said that people's homes are being burnt because they believe in Jesus. Worship meetings are being stopped. We'd meet like this and then people would come in and stop us from worshipping because of faith in Jesus Christ. Lambs in the midst of wolves. I just wonder if we could just pray for a moment. Just stop, because it's so easy in the relative peace we have in the UK to forget the challenges that believers are facing. Maybe you know of a situation, and just take a moment to just pray into that situation. Two of the leaders whose names I know, Danish and Ghaffar, who are in Pakistan, you could pray for them, or if you know other nations, let's just take just 2 minutes just to pray in our hearts for different nations, different areas where people face persecution. Lord, we want to lift up Danish and Ghaffar in Pakistan. Lord, we want to pray that you would protect them. Lord, that you would give them wisdom as how they pastor their church and the people as they face increasing persecution for their faith in you. Lord, we want to pray that they would still be strong and be steadfast and still seek for opportunities to share about you. But Lord, we pray that you would give them great wisdom and understanding. But Lord, we recognise that is two churches in the midst of many, many across this world that face persecution. Lord, we recognise there is great persecution in northern India. There is great persecution in Nigeria. There's great persecution in many Middle Eastern countries. In fact, people in this room have fled nations because of persecution. Lord, I want to pray that you would bring healing for the pain and the challenge that that's caused. But Lord, we want to pray that the gospel would still go forth in those nations. Lord, we thank you that the enemy does not triumph in these situations. We thank you that your gospel still goes forth. And we pray that you would strengthen and equip the leaders of churches and believers who are facing this day by day. Lord, we pray against fear in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Lord, thank you that whatever people do to us, it doesn't change the hope that we have in you, Jesus, which goes beyond the grave. And we lift these guys and girls and situations up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're sent out as lambs amongst wolves. That's how Jesus sends out his disciples, and that's how we're sent out. And at times it will feel like that. And we need to trust God for his protection. We need to trust him that he will protect us as we seek to follow him. And Jesus emphasizes this trust in him. He says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. There is a sense of direction and purpose and mission here. Okay, no money bag. We get that. That's trusting God for his provision. A knapsack is really a picnic bag. Don't take your picnic. Okay? Go without food. Trust God for his food. The funny thing here is no sandals. What? No sandals? We've got to walk across the rocky paths with no sandals on. You miss that, don't you, sometimes? Jesus sends his disciples out in humility. They would enter the town looking poor and needy, and they would be poor and needy. They might have had sandals wherever, but they didn't have them. They didn't have them with them. They didn't have any money, and they didn't have a packed lunch. And this lowliness would mean that they would need others to help them. They would need the help of others. And so often, this is how God wants us to engage in mission with others. Not as the ones with all the resources and all the answers, but in humility, recognizing that we are also in need and we need others to help us. Our need forces us to help, ask for help from others, and enables new relationships to be built. That's one of the ways cross-cultural mission works. because you're going to mission, you're going to a field and you don't understand the language and the culture, and you have to learn, and you have to show humility to learn to be able to connect with the culture and share the gospel. And Jesus gives them multiple commands about what they could do, and we're not going to unpack everything here, but some of this was very radical. Eat what they give you. Jews had very strict eating laws. And Jesus says, eat what they give you. The weekend before, we were with a number of churches in the area at Together 23. And Fuzi, who leads the team at City Gates Dubai, and they're involved in a number of different nations. And he shared about a people group that we are involved in. They're an unreached people group. They haven't heard the gospel before, and they're in Nepal. And they're called the, I'm going to hash this, but I'm going to try my best. They're called the Musa'ar people. And do you know what they do? They eat rats. That's what they do. They eat rats. And Sahendra Mahato has gone to reach them with the gospel. To reach others with the gospel, we have to be willing to meet them where they are. And to sacrifice some of our own comfort and things that matter to us to say, actually, I'm going to meet you where you are. I went to Kosovo a number of years ago and sat down, and this lady served us this food. And we're kind of looking at each other, what is this? It wasn't rat or anything like that. But, you know, this lady had made the best food she possibly could to give to us. And we could have thought, well, I don't really like that. Or we just ate the food because she was showing us great hospitality. And we were saying, actually, we don't want to put any barriers in the way of you understanding the gospel. So we're willing to eat whatever you give us because we want to build a relationship with you. And we need to know that in our land where we do have relative wealth, all of us, okay? We do, in comparison to the world. We have the things that we like and we don't like. And actually, what we eat and how we meet others with the gospel is we're willing to become like them. To say, actually, I'll meet you wherever you are. I'll eat whatever you eat. I will be like you because I want to share the love of God with you. And that's something that comes from humility, doesn't it? We say, actually, what's more important here? Sahendra Mahato, who goes and says, actually, I'm going to eat rats with these people because I want to show them the love of Jesus. And they're ostracized by everyone else, but I want to show them the love of Jesus. And we need so much more of that, don't we, in the West? We need so much more of that. Actually, what really matters here is the gospel, and I'm willing to do whatever I can to make sure I share the gospel with you. Don't we need more of that in this nation? So actually, this is what matters, and I'm willing to go to a low place if that's what helps to reach others with the gospel. Jesus commands them to heal the sick. We've got to trust God for his power. They didn't just go with a message to proclaim, but they went with the miraculous power of God to heal. This is an act of trust when we choose to pray for someone who is sick, because we can't do it. We can pray, but we can't do it. And we sometimes worry, well, what happens if it doesn't happen? And we talk ourselves out of it because we don't move out in faith when God leads us. Okay, and there's grace for that when we don't. But actually, we need to step out in faith and say, God, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone where I'm in control and say, God, I want to pray for this person because I believe that you can heal. And that's how God moves. It's when we learn to say, actually, I want to step out of my comfort zone and the area that I can control and into the area where God is going to move in power. And it's understanding the authority that we have because we're sons and daughters of the living God. He gives us authority in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 19. He talks about authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, this is not an encouragement to become Steve Batchel or Ray Mears or some sort of animal wrangler. This is a vivid image of the authority that Jesus' followers possess. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? Mission is always an act of trust. is always about trusting God that there are people who will respond to him, trusting for God's protection, trusting for his provision, and trusting for his power. That's what we do when we go on mission, when we take a step out and we talk about Jesus, we are saying, Jesus, I trust you to use this for your glory. That's what we're saying. Third thing, there will be rejection as well as success. You get these quotes by various people, not Christians, but sometimes they're helpful. A rejection is nothing more than a necessary step in the pursuit of success. I think that's true for the gospel. You know, if you're not willing to be rejected for the gospel, you won't share the gospel. If you recognise, okay, God, this is going to happen, but it doesn't change who I am, doesn't change your love for me, then we're willing to push forwards. And you know, they often say in sales, you know, that you have to tell a certain amount of people, you have to offer a certain amount of people before someone responds. And I think that's probably true with the gospel. I don't know exact figures, but if you only ever tell one person, you know, they might not. But if you go and tell 10 people, and you find this, if you go out on the streets, I've been out on the streets of Alpington talking to people about Jesus, you might go out for an hour, you might have one or you might have two really good conversations. But you have a lot of people, I'm not interested. But for those two conversations, you think, hey, it was worth me going out. I prayed with a guy, a delivery worker, outside Pato Lounge in the High Street when we were doing the turning. I was with Liesl from Christchurch and we just started talking to him. And this guy was in tears because he had a Christian background, but he hadn't lived a life and he needed to know about God's grace. And he was in tears and he met with God on the High Street because we went out. And you think, that was worthwhile. But there was others who were, I'm not interested in that. It's a whole load of baloney and all that kind of stuff that you get. So there will be rejection as well as success. Jesus teaches his disciples that they must be willing to walk away when they're rejected. Verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Sometimes we need to recognise that people aren't ready to hear the gospel. They're just not ready. Or if they're particularly hostile, we're not trying to win an argument. We're just trying to show them God's love. If they're not interested, be willing to have a nice day and pray for them. There will be some who reject the message that we bring. And that's because there is an enemy. There's an enemy that blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. And Jesus draws attention to this cosmic battle happening as his kingdom breaks in when he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And he talks about giving us power over the enemy. There is an enemy out there who doesn't like us sharing our faith, doesn't like the gospel. And even as Jesus' disciples went out amongst the people of Israel, they would experience rejection. Jesus rebukes Chorazin and Bethsaida and even Capernaum for their unbelief. You might think, or I did when I read it, I thought, well, why are they relevant? Where are they? Well, you can see the towns here, Chorazin and Bethsaida. And that was where, in the region of where Jesus fed the 5,000. He says, if Tyre and Sidon, which are up here, these were two cities. One oppressed Israel, and the other lived in luxury at the expense of Galilee. They oppressed them. They took advantage of them. And Jesus says that if they'd seen the miracles that Jesus had performed, they would have repented. Even the people of Israel, who you would expect to respond, they'd waited for the Messiah. They'd waited years, and they'd expected him to come, and you think, they will be ready for it. And this shows us very clearly that it is possible to be close to God's people, and even affiliated to them, but not respond to the gospel. And each of us need to ensure that we're not just present here on a Sunday, but that we personally have responded to the gospel of Christ. This is a very simple gospel presentation, but the gospel tells us that God loves us more than anyone ever will. You know, whoever you think loves you the most, God loves you much more than them. And he always will do. But the gospel tells us that we are sinners. We've rejected God. We've lived lives our own way. We've hurt others. We've caused a mess along the way. And the punishment of sin is death and separation from God. But God has made a way for us, amen? To be saved by sending his own son in human flesh to die in our place. And that leaves us with a choice. Will we accept God's love and grace and give our lives to Jesus to become his followers and embrace the new life he's given us or not? Jesus didn't stay dead. He's alive and he offers new life to everybody who believes in him. So will you believe in Jesus and follow him? Are you one of his people or not? If not, why not? We run various opportunities to look into Christian faith. We've got an Alpha course. We're also doing our questions about faith evening, where you can look at a specific topic and look what does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to have faith in God? And on the 27th of September, we're going to be looking at suffering and asking questions about that and looking at how Christianity provides an answer to that great challenge of suffering in our world. But maybe you're ready to do an Alpha course. Maybe you think, actually, I want to look into this. I want to understand it a bit more. I've got questions to ask. Why not join us on our next Alpha course starting a week on Tuesday, 9:30 in the morning. Come here. You can ask your questions. You watch a short video. You can ask your questions and discover more about Jesus and make your own decision. Jesus reminds us that when people reject him, when people reject us, they're actually rejecting him. This means we don't have to take rejection personally. It's because of Jesus that we face rejection. But the good news is that some will respond in faith, and that motivates us to keep sharing our faith. God spoke to Paul when he was in Corinth, and he said this. He said, do not. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, who went on missions all over Europe and Asia and to share the gospel. And this is what God said to him. He said, do not be afraid. Hey, who needs to hear that? Who needs to hear do not be afraid when sharing their faith? I do. Paul needed to. Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. That's great news, isn't it? And sometimes we just need to be reminded of passages like this, that we're reminded not to act in fear, to keep speaking and not be silent, because God is with us. And he has many people who we will come into contact with who are his people but don't yet know it. Amen? And it's our duty to keep scattering seed. We don't know when it'll bear fruit, but we have a role to play in keep scattering seed. You know, if you try and plant grass on your lawn, you don't plant one seed, water it and care for it lots. You plant lots because you recognise that some of them won't grow properly, so you plant lots. And we need to do that. And at the start of the year, in a very difficult situation, I was in hospital with my mum and we were supporting someone from the family. Whilst in the waiting room, very difficult waiting room, difficult area of the hospital, I was with my mum. And a lady came in and she said, I recognise you, to my mum. I was like, oh, right, okay. And she explained how she'd come to a toddler group that my mum had run when we were at Bromley Common Baptist Church many years ago. A very, very small church. Quite hard work. And she shared how she had come along. She wasn't interested in faith, but she thanked my mum for the way that they had showed care and looked after her. She was a stressed out mum, and she just appreciated the way the church served her and took her children and made her a cup of tea and looked after her. And she shared that she'd later become a Christian. She shared how her whole family had come to faith. And she was just so grateful. She said, I just want to thank you for the love and acceptance that you showed me when I came to Bromley Common Baptist Church. You never know
what your seed scattering will do in the future. And that's the problem, because we like to see results, but you know, we will see them in eternity. And it's very rare that you have a situation like that. But we are told just to scatter. Just keep sowing in faith. And the disciples returned shocked at the way. They were sent out as lambs amongst wolves. And they are shocked at the way that God uses them on the missionary trip. They say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus says, don't rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Our joy is not in the success we may see, but in our salvation. You know, and this will keep us grounded in all seasons. In seasons of harvest and seasons when we're just breaking dry, hard ground and it feels very hard work. If our focus is on Jesus and the salvation he's given us, we will have joy. But if it's on how well we're doing, what our flow charts are doing or whatever, we're going to find that our joy goes up and down. We need to find joy in our salvation. That's why Sundays we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate our salvation. We don't say, hey, this is what happened this week. Let's just celebrate all the good things that have happened this week. We might share some of that alongside, but we want our focus to be on the salvation that he's won for us, on the cross. That's the great news. Following Jesus means joining his mission. I might invite Liz up to kind of get ready. After this morning, a number of us are going down to the high street to the barbecue. And this is a fun event, but I want to encourage you to look for opportunities to share the gospel, to share about Jesus, to share about what the church does, to share about anything that's more important than whether the weather's good or whether England won the rugby yesterday, which they did. Hallelujah. That was great. I want to ask you to stand. Now, some of us are going down the high street, but some aren't. And I want to ask you just to, in your heart, to ask God for an opportunity this week to share your faith with someone. This is out of your comfort zone. You know, if you're a believer in Jesus, to say, God, would you prompt me this week to take a conversation from the general into a conversation that's about something more important, to scatter some seed. I want to encourage you, if you're willing, just to hold your hands out. Father, we are your people, been purchased at such a great cost, the sacrifice of Jesus, but this is part of your mission to bring light and love to the community around us. And we, as your followers and as your people, we asked you this morning, Holy Spirit, would you prompt us to share with someone this week the good news of Jesus? We ask you, Holy Spirit, to interrupt our day to give us an opportunity to share with someone about the good news about Jesus. Because we believe that there's a great harvest. And we believe that as we scatter seed, that it will bear fruit. And we ask you for an opportunity to scatter seed, Lord. For those of us going out to the high street, Lord, we want to pray for an opportunity to scatter seed this week, today. Lord, in an hour's time, Lord, give us opportunity to scatter seeds that others may come to know you and come to experience the amazing blessing of the salvation that we get to enjoy day by day. And we pray, Lord, would you give us boldness and strength and faith to trust you and to believe and to see you move in power. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing Build Your Kingdom Here, because that's what we want to see. We want to see it here. We want to see it across the nations of the world.